sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 188. Title is between Vegas and something Michael K. Williams said, or just the sound of another voice who knows. I think I'm going to go with the second one. This book is my effort to reach out to those who are the same color as me, and those who couldn't look more different. Those who are too young to carry all their pain, and those who are weak from having to carry it on, for having to carry it for so long. I hope by telling my story, by sharing my thoughts, my doubts, my fears, my loneliness, and some of my trauma, that I can provide some comfort, maybe insight or connection, or maybe just the sound of another voice who knows.
Message!
All right. Welcome, bienvenue, to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. Gaston Le Benoit. I'm working on that. We're all works in progress, all right? Okay. Before I start the show, I have to inform your new listener that this podcast is protected. Excuse me. This podcast is a safe space for my thought, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. And the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's your blizz up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on July 18. Let me check my watch and confirm. July 18, 2024. Excuse me. Let me check my new watch and confirm. I mean, all right. Settle down. All right. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, reckon labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
That might have been a little too loud. All right, okay, let's go. All right, okay. Let's just, for starters, okay, before I continue with this introduction, for you new listeners, let me just help you get a little familiar with this podcast. All right. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, but in this particular, three parts. We're sticking to three parts, all right? Bear with me. Three parts, acts. I prefer to call them acts. The first act is the intro. The second act is using random thought. And the last act is final thought. I had to think about that one. I had to think. All right. All right. If I sound not confused, but out of script, is because I'm kind of going out of script. Hey, here's the thing. I usually record on Wednesday, and I'm considering switching my midweek episode are usually on Wednesdays. It helps me break down my week, just makes it a lot shorter. But I have something that I might have to do on Wednesdays, so my Wednesdays are occupied, which means that I'm thinking on switching. I might have to switch to Thursday. I'm working on it. I'm figuring out, but yeah, I'm recording and releasing on the same day. So all this to say that my midweek episodes are up for It's to be determined, right? But we're playing with Wednesday. We're playing with, are we Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. Okay. Second. Yeah, new listeners, help you get familiarized. So far what I like to do in the intro is what you've heard in the intro is the theme, the title of today's episode, which is still being determined. Again, I'm still a work in progress. And usually I spit some rap verse, but in this particular case, I chose to read an excerpt from the book, Scenes from My Life, a memoir. Let me get that right. A memoir, Scenes from My Life. I'm funny. A memoir by Michael K. Williams. And yeah, I recently read it. And I'll be in the final thought, I'll be talking about my thoughts on the memoir. Right? Right. And also, for this episode, it should be a short episode, but I tend to talk a lot. I like to talk a lot. I've organized my ideas, but it should be a short episode because I'm only going to talk about two things. One, my recent trip to Vegas, and two, my thoughts on, after finishing, Scenes from My Life, a memoir. Michael K. Williams' books. Oh, right. Who's Michael K. Williams? Omar Cumming, you know, he's the actor who played Omar in The Wire. What the fuck you mean you haven't seen The Wire? Okay, all right. How about you hit pause on this podcast and go watch all 5 seasons of The Wire and then come back. Unless you're Whitey. Because Whitey don't watch The Wire. All right, okay. Yeah, so 2 items, right? So if I sound a little confused, it's because I'm realizing that News and Random Thought is just going to be my trip to Vegas, the random thoughts that I have from Vegas. And the last one is, again, like I said, you know what? Nah, it's going to be a regular length episode. But I'm going to limit myself, okay? What else? Regular episode. So, like I said, you're in the first act. One thing I like to do in the first act is share a quote. And today's quote goes like this. Those who are closest to the problem are closest to the solution. Michael K. Williams, got it from his book. Needless to say, I was moved by his book. Hence why I'm talking about it. Right. Oh, and last thought. I know what you're thinking, man. Just get in the goddamn podcast. Just get in, man. I'm like Jay-Z at the beginning of Black Republican. I'm like, go in, man. Go in. I'm letting the beat ride. Okay, there's no beat, but fuck it. It's my goddamn podcast. What do you want me to do? All right. Last thought. If you go to the show notes of this podcast, there are 3 sections, and they correspond to the acts of this podcast. Now, there's an extra section called Other Links. In this particular case, Other Links is kind of like a scrapbook of everything that I've collected. Not everything, but most of the things, significant things that I collected between now and the last episode released. All right. It may not relate to what happened. It's something that I read, but it's just the way I'm going to look at it. When I look back at my episodes, it will be like I will look at them like they were scrapbooks of what happened in that particular week. All right. So it's my way of saying check out the Other Links section. And that's it. Okay. This is it for for the intro. Let's jump to News and Random Thoughts, and which is actually my trip to Vegas. And yeah, let's get the show going. All right, y'all ready? Let's do this. Let's go. I cannot have another episode and not complain about my equipment. Yeah, I should be grateful, but I'm realizing that this, I know what the problem is. It's this motherfucking MP3. It's this motherfucking, sorry, I'm talking to myself again. Yeah, I have this habit of getting caught in my own thoughts and forgetting that there's an audience in front of me. Like 99% or 90% of the things that if you were to interact with me and be like, this motherfucker's weird. Really what's going on is I'm normal. Well, to myself is I'm likely caught up in my thought. And you have to remind me that, Hey, I'm over here. Right. I'm over here. Right. Unless I don't like you. So, you know, just walk away. All right, where was I? Okay. Before I talk about my trip to Vegas, I got to send a reminder, public service announcement to any Yankees who might be listening to this podcast. You know, I don't want to generalize, okay? You know, because you might be an educated, cultured American. But I'm going to generalize. I need to feel the need to send a reminder that, dear Yanks, Canada is not a motherfucking village. All right? Hold on a second. That shit was annoying. Yeah, Canada's not a goddamn village. Hold on. I got to shut this down because y'all need to know how popular I am. Usually I like to keep my WhatsApp going so I can sound popular, but I know to you it doesn't sound loud, but in my headphones, that motherfucker is loud. Another reason for me to complain about my message, about my mixing board. I haven't figured out how to regulate the volume. Right, where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. Canada is not a motherfucking village. It's a fucking country with 13. How many provinces are we at? With 13 provinces? 13. Canadian. Yeah, 13. No, yeah. 12. I want to say 12. No, back when I was young, it was provinces. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm at the age where I stopped trusting my brain's memory. All right. Okay. It's actually 10 provinces and 3 territories, I believe, unless that has changed. You know, you kids. But, okay, let's go with 13 provinces for the sake of fucking conversation. Oh, okay. Provinces and territory. So where does 10 provinces and 3 territories. Okay, things have changed. Okay. Back in my days, it was 2 territories. Hence my confusion. Back in the days, but then Nunavut showed up and then shout out to all you programmers who had to like update your drop down list. You have no idea what I'm talking about. You non-techies have no idea what I'm talking about. Right. Now, reminding myself what the fuck I was talking about. Yes, Canada is not a goddamn village, all right? 1, 2, it consists of 13 provinces. It's got a parliamentary system, is that how you call it? Whatever, governed, whatever. My point is, Drake doesn't run Canada, all right? I'm going to fucking, and the reason I bring this up is because a story came out, an article came out, or news came out, headline came out about how it's a schoolboy Q from the TDE organization. TDE Kendrick. You know, fuck, I shouldn't have to explain it to you, right? But schoolboy Q tweeted out how, or put out a message saying, hey, I was banned from Canada. It kind of makes me laugh. Sorry. Okay, it's me. It's really fucking silly. He's talking about how he was banned from Canada, and he had a concert to do in Toronto, and apparently the show got canceled. Is that what happened? Yeah, it got canceled. And Kubo Q says, "Yeah, man, Toronto police don't want me in Toronto." And I'm like, Drake don't got that kind of pull. Well, you know what? Fuck that. Whatever. What happens in Toronto stays. I have no idea. It was in Toronto. Who knows? Maybe Drake knows the promoter. Maybe he knows he's got a homie who works in the police force. But whatever happened, that apparently Schoolboy Q had to cancel his show in Toronto. And he had to cancel his show in Toronto. And he thinks he has something to do with the TDE beef. Okay, here's a real reason why I bring this up. Okay, and the link, there's a link in the show notes to the article I'm talking about, right? It goes, the title goes, Drake seemingly responds to Schoolboy Q claiming TDE banned from performing in Canada. And then this reminds me of Kendrick Lyon when he says, I hate when you sneak this. If I take flight, it's going to be direct. Speaking of direct flights, when I went to Vegas, it wasn't a direct flight. I don't mind it, but let me get to it. Okay, focus, B. Focus. Focus. Jesus Christ. Maybe I should try get myself diagnosed. Maybe I should take some pills for ADHD. This podcast would sound a lot different. All right, okay. What was I? Yes, the reason why I'm talking about this shit is because there's an article, the article that I linked by All Hip Hop, and they're talking about how Drake took a picture of himself wearing a Free Yayo t-shirt, and their theory is it's their way of supporting something that Tony Yayo said about Tony. The quote goes, Tony, it's so fucking silly, it's making me laugh. Tony Yayo says Drake critics not welcome in Canada. That pissed me the fuck off. However, what's it say? It goes, late on Wednesday, I'll read the paragraph. It goes, late on Wednesday evening, July 17th. Oh, yesterday. Drake took to Instagram stories with a selfie. In the image, Drizzy dons a Free Yayo shirt. His tribute to G-Unit rapper comes at a strange time as Tony Yayo was freed after spending time behind bars between 2002 and 2004. Tony Yayo says Drake critics are not welcome in Canada. However, Tony Yayo has recently weighed in on the Drake and Kendrick Lamar battle with some interesting takes. Not really. During the interview with Vlad TV last month, Yayo said some artists remain neutral throughout the beef because Drake's critics won't be welcome in Canada. Nigga, please. Nigga, fucking please. You know, it would be kind of interesting. It would be interesting having TDE or just Kendrick Lamar come to Canada and have Drake try to stop it. Are you fucked up the back? I'd do fucking Civil War, man. And just... I mean, yeah, have Drake call his white buddies, say, hey man, stop that shit. His white buddies and their black allies who allow them to use the N-word to stop the concert. It'd be fucked up. Look at me. Acting like I wanna get in a fight with some young whippersnapper over Kendrick Lamar. The furthest I'll go is argue about it at a barbershop. I'll go to two barbershops to argue about, fuck that, Drake don't run me. Watch my car explodes because of his connection to his alleged connections with the Hell's Angels, yeah. Oh my God, my point is, yeah, it was fucking some ignorant shit from Tony Yayo to say, about, yeah, he can't come to Canada. It's a fuck. 13 provinces. The best he could do is call CBSA, they control our borders, and say, yeah, that nigger coming into the country, Kendrick Lamar, yeah, he's got a prison record. Click. He hates white people. Click. That's the biggest he could, yeah. Maybe in Toronto. Maybe there's certain parts of Toronto, like the rich part. You know, it'd be an interesting fight. It would be, you know, I think I would probably drive to Toronto. No, I'm not. Who am I kidding? I'm not driving to Toronto. I love Kendrick Lamar, but I'm not going to see him in concert, especially where all these white people are surrounding me. So they can weigh in on the... Only way I would go to a Kendrick Lamar concert if there was guarantees that there'd be consequences and repercussion on any white person dropping the N-word at the concert. Nah, it'd be more than that. But anyway, okay, yeah. That's what I get for quoting. You know, two organizations I should not take information from, or whenever they put out is Vlad TV and CBC talking about anything involving racism. Oh, we got an interesting... It's rarely interesting. Yeah. Okay. Fuck. It's been too much talking about this. All right. My trip to Vegas. All right. Let me... some series of random thoughts. Okay. I made a list of shit to talk about. Okay. Let me... First, let me complain about... shout out to me for packing well. Shout out to my Uber driver for showing up too fucking early. 10 minutes earlier than I requested for him to show up. But whatever. I made it on time. Makes me wonder, man. The dude had a really nice ride, man. The dude who came pick me up, and he does this. He's like, how are you able to pay for this car doing Uber? Whatever. That's another long, so that's irrelevant. But, yeah. Got a YOW, flew to trip to Vegas. Had to fly from Vegas from Ottawa to Vegas, but had to take a connection in Vancouver. And what was interesting is how the gate next to the one going to Vancouver was going to Calgary. And I've never seen so many Canadians in wearing cowboy hats, and it wasn't Halloween. My point is, just seeing those people going to Calgary had me thinking, maybe I don't know enough about Calgary. Maybe I shouldn't just let the internet tell me shit. The internet and the media talk to me about Calgary. Maybe I should check it out myself. Like, it just made me curious. Actually, on the flight there, on the flight back. Oh, right, because on the flight back, I had to fly to Calgary. And I'm realizing it was my first time in the province of Alberta. Banda tête carrée, man. Province full of tête carrées. I'm heard there's a few French people in Calgary, but I'm a Franco-Ontarian. I mean, as much as I hang on to my black heritage, my identity as a black person, those honkies managed to sneak in the whole French-Canadian identity, French-Canadian trait in me. It's like being white and hanging out with black people, right? You're going to develop some, you're going to pick up some of their habits. So because of, yes, French Canadian, so I have this, like, I have this resentment against English Canada. Hey, some of my homies speak English, but it's in there. Like, I'm like, wah. Like, I'm like, for me, part of my French Canadian identity is saying, fuck these Anglais, see, fuck them. I'm so full of shit. So I'm wearing wherever I go to French. It's ridiculous. I know. I fucking know. But anyway, so I'm going to go to Calgary, and the first non-translated sign I see, I'm going to put up a fight. Oh, you only speak French? No, I can speak English, but God damn it, why is this motherfucking sign in motherfucking French? How do I speak French, Carlos? And then call my French teacher. Hey, qu'est-ce que j'ai fait aujourd'hui? All right, okay. Where was I? Yes, Calgary. I'm curious about going to Calgary. So I guess one takeaway about going to Vegas, I'm curious about the city of Calgary. To be continued. Right. Oh, right. Travel partner. You know, the thing is, usually when I travel places, I go solo. I got to send a shout out to my cousin. I'm not going to say her name. Government name. I sure work on a nickname, but it was my cousin's idea. It was, she wanted to check out, had no idea there was a thing called, a concert called Love and Laughter. Is that what it's called? Make sure I got that right. Love and Laughter. And it was a concert with Cedric the Entertainer and, Love and Laughter, Vegas. And Toni Braxton. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Toni Braxton at the time. I was not, but she is. She could tell. And she was like, hey, started out telling me how she's a huge fan of Toni Braxton and she wanted to check him out, and I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do? Stay in Ottawa? Part of being from Ottawa is looking for reasons to leave Ottawa. If you can do it. To get the fuck out of Ottawa, right? Anyway, so it was her idea, and I remember telling myself, it's like, oh, I can't wait to the end of the trip and bitch about how it was going to be a crappy idea. Because I like to be Captain Negative. And I, like, I can't wait for the trip to be over and bitch about how it was the worst idea ever conceived. Because I start out negative, because then you're not disappointed. And I, so hang out with my cousin. So she's significantly younger than me. Significantly, like 10, 15. She's younger, in her 30s. I'm in late 40s. She still considers herself the future. I'm the past. Wait, 89. Does that make her Gen Z? Millennial? So whatever. The point is, I was, as much as I like hanging out with her, I was a little concerned that this is a travel partner. travel partner, like this was going to be a travel partner nightmare. You're a girl, I'm a boy, you're young, I'm old, I smoke weed, you fucking love Jesus. You know, shit like that. Like every reason for this trip to go wrong. Again, did I mention I can tend to be negative? Anyways, by the end of this trip, yo, I gave this young lady 5 stars. And I think the most significant part, I think the biggest takeaway of it was how she had a maturity that even some of my homeboys didn't have. And what I mean by that is accepting there was, I think the best part about the trip is we knew when to be like, nah, you do your thing, I'm gonna do my thing. I didn't have to worry about, oh, fuck, great, I have to drag her drunk ass from the fucking casino ground. She got in a fight. Like, I didn't have to worry about shit like that. You know, I didn't have to worry about her, and I guess the best part, she didn't have to worry about me. I didn't have to worry about, like, oh, shit, I don't have enough money to pay for my room. Can I sleep in your, you know what I mean? Shit like that. It was two fucking adults doing their trip. No clinginess, no, you know what? You like that shit? I like that shit? Okay, you know what? Let's go, you know, not to say that we spent the whole trip separated, but it was like, you know what? Anyone who's traveled with a travel partner, a nightmare travel partner, knows what I'm talking about. It's not easy to, there's a TikTok clip of a woman who was like, she goes traveling with some, basically they turn out to be amazing. Like they were all ready to go to whatever event that she wanted to go to. She didn't have to do like, she didn't have to be like a mother chicken and whatever. I guess what I'm getting at is having several bad experiences with travel partners, it was like rejoicing having someone that, a travel partner that we bonded on. And what makes this most important is we don't share the same interests and we made it work. Like we it's like we accepted each other that way. It's like, you know, there were times where, yeah, I remember suggesting going to the Mob Museum. She goes, yeah, let me try that. There were no like, man, this shit sucks. This is stupid. What the fuck? You know what I mean? By the end of the show, I was like, yo, this was a good idea. I was like tearing up. I was like, wait a minute. You didn't bitch about it? You know, it was just 5-star rating. 5-star rating. That's what I'm trying to say. Great travel partner. So, yeah, Mom Museum. Yeah, connected. I'm trying to remember. I had a moment remembering. There's no way this person I'm going to talk about is going to listen to this podcast. If it does, it's like some astronomical. I'm laughing at the idea of our Uber driver. God bless her, great driver. You know, it was great to go from the airport, getting the shit kicked out of us by the heat, and getting to our car, and the AC was on. But our Uber driver, kind lady, but put us in a really tough moral dilemma. We started talking. My cousin and I, we're both kind of people that, you know, easygoing type that, you know, people just open up to us, right? And she started telling us a story about how she met some dude online from Nigeria. And how, yeah, man, how she's like, first we talked about how we enjoy her solitude. It was a great conversation. That's how it started. We were having a great conversation about enjoying our solitude. Yeah, all three of us high five on that one. And then she started talking about how she met some dude from Nigeria. And how this dude is like, well, I shouldn't be telling you this, but apparently he's a senator. He's a very important person. He has all this money and shit like that. I remember tweeting this, like, do you have any Nigerian friends? Because they'll give you a heads up. I was trying to give us some hints. And the thing is, it ended with us getting out of the cab of the Uber driver, you know, say thank you. I tipped her and everything like that. And my cousin and I looked at each other going, ah, that poor soul. We were trying to, like, debating on whether should we tell her she's getting played or let her figure it out by her own. But it was just, yeah, man, it was like, I guess that's what I'm saying is, before you have a long-distance relationship, but, you know, get to know the... What I'm trying to tell you is everything she was telling us about this dude were like fucking red flags. And we were both debating on whether it was our place to be like, girl, save yourself. But whatever, man. She sounded happy. Dude was telling her everything she wanted to hear. But whatever. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Where was I going? Yeah. Really what I want to talk about is, so the Toni Braxton concert was great. It was, oh, well, we went there on the last date, so I guess I could spoil it for you. What was it is, again, didn't expect myself to enjoy myself because what do I know about Toni Braxton? I know a few songs that that she has. One of them, I find it offensive. He wasn't man enough for me. How do I not take it personal? I remember when that song came out, and there was no way. My self-esteem was so low when the song came. This is what makes this concert amazing. I went from, yo, that's the chick who sang the song, man, not man enough for me. And the song, I'm like, yo, she's talking about me directly. What I'm trying to get at is, by the end of this show, and it probably helps that I watched an interview with her and Cedric promoting the show, and she was just talking about how she's single. Yeah, I'm just like looking for a nice guy. And by the end of the show, I swear, all her love song felt like she was singing to me directly. I think that's what makes a female R&B artist, to me, great. Not just the voice, the music, but it feels like it's one of those songs that, oh my God, I think she's talking to me. You know, it just made me, like, it was, she's got one song, I forget what it is, and the dude did her wrong. Like, I wanted to fuck up the dude she was singing about. This is how I show empathy, by threatening violence. Who hurt you? Who hurt you? Give me his number. But, okay, what I was trying to get at is, I was trying to explain how it was a great show, and it was kind of interesting the way they did it. It was like, first they both came on stage, hey, everybody, whatever, and then she did her music, she did a few of her songs, blah, her classics, and then Cedric came on and dude jokes. Now, I will tell you something, man. As an amateur comic, that shit, what he did was fucking risky. To me. I mean, he's a seasoned vet, so he could pull it off, right? Because I'm like, wow, you're going to do a set after that R&B music? Like, I'm in a mood right now. I feel like lovey-dovey. Don't fuck up with some jokes about, yeah, man, let me talk about, you know, these females. Oh, dude, what the fuck? So Cedric knew his audience, knew the crowd, knew the mood that was set by Toni Braxton, and did his joke, and his joke, like, killed. Like, he delivered. I'm like, dude, you don't want to be the weakest link in this show. He delivered. I remember finding myself laughing. I bring this up because I remember seeing Cedric perform probably a Netflix special, and I remember not laughing. Was it Cedric? Well, whatever. I remember seeing the special, or it might have been on YouTube, but it wasn't that funny. But whatever. Very funny. Enjoyed myself, and the two combined together. It was a great show. And I remember by the end of the show, I was like praising my cousin. I was like, yo, great idea, man. This was, oh my God. Thanks for thinking about me and all that parade. You know, great idea. And this girl, man, you know what the problem is? Humble and shit. I'm giving her reasons to feel herself. She's like, oh, yo, whatever, dog. Thank you for coming, blah, blah, blah. Nah, man. Feel good about yourself, sis. Anyway, no, I just had a moment where I was grateful to be alive. Let's just put it this way. It was just one of those moments. And yeah, great show. Great show, 5-star rating. Now, I say all this because I found myself realizing that I hate Vegas. That came out wrong. No, I don't want to say I hate Vegas, but this whole trip made me realize Vegas is not for me. I do not dispute the fact that Vegas is, what do they call it? America's playground. But the two times I've gone to Vegas, so this is my second time going to Vegas, and I'm realizing my favorite thing were shows. So the first time I went to Vegas, I checked out Cirque du Soleil. It was a great show, best spectacle. And then second, I'm realizing that for someone like me, going to Vegas, it's not the gambling. It's going to a show. It's going to the museum and doing shit that introverts would enjoy doing. I only say the only reason, okay, I'm not going to say I hated Vegas, but it was, I remember there was a time in Vegas where, there were so many people there. And I was bothered at the fact that I could tell they were all enjoying themselves. Yo, the best days of my life. And I was bothered at the fact that I wasn't them. Like, I wish I was one of those people playing blackjack and poker. I don't know how to play it. Whatever, right? One of those people who are, like, in the moment. Drinking. Exactly. I don't drink much. But I will say, if I were to do a top five list or top three moments in Vegas, would have been like, well, hang out with my cousin. And two, there was it's kind of funny. What happened is things have changed for certain hotels. Like when it comes to housekeeping, you have to request housekeeping. There's not it's not like the whole 10 o'clock in housekeeping. You know, I don't know if I made if I was doing an accent. My top, you know that you're hungover. You house, but now you got to request housekeeping. So I remember, what time it must have been, I guess it was, excuse me. We arrived there on Thursday, and I was dead tired. I just went straight to bed. All right, we went to get something to eat, then we went passed out. Then I don't know, my cousin probably hung out, but I went straight to bed. Next day I wake up, and I'm like, I think I need to get some. I requested housekeeping, and they were like, but by the time I called, they were like, yeah, we can't promise you whatever, but we'll see. We'll try to get something to write. But fast forward to 10, it must have been 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I get a knock, and it's housekeeping lady. Yeah, it was Friday. Yeah, I was getting ready to not do shit. It was a Friday. The hell did I do on Friday? Oh, I didn't do much on Friday. Oh, got a pedicure, but that's not the point. Yeah, I got a pedicure. That's another thing, right, about Vegas. If you're an introvert, probably, like, go to a spa. Shit like that. That's the things you'll... I Googled things that an introvert might want to do in Vegas, and spa was on the top of the list. I ended up choosing to go for a pedicure because, you know, I like to go out of town because I thought I was going to wear flip-flops, and I like... whatever, fuck it. I like my feet feeling beautiful. So I get a pedicure, and oh my god, yes, I remember. Because why the fuck was I getting ready to bed around 10 o'clock? Oh, it was like evening, and I'm telling myself, there's nothing I want to do. I remember just feeling like my introvert energy was like exhausted. My people energy was exhausted, so I just wanted to go in a room and just be away from the crowd. But what's funny is how 10 o'clock, 11 comes up, and the housekeeping is like, yeah, I'm here for housekeeping. I'm like, shit. Lady, I was just about to go to bed. This lady did not speak much English. I remember she had to type what she wanted to say. I guess she had Google Translate. She's like, here for cleaning. It's like, all right, okay, fuck it. Oh, I remember asking her, I said, do I have to leave? I'm making hand gestures. Do I have to? Excuse moi, partir? Hoping that some word in French might be the same in Spanish. Can I stay or do you need me to beat it? She's like, vamonos. No, she didn't say vamonos. But I'm being stereotypical racist here. But whatever. She just said, yeah, no, it's better if you leave. So I just used that as an opportunity to walk around. And I remember walking and noticed a club. This walking for the casino. By the way, they can smoke in Vegas, indoors in Vegas. I remember when I was young, people used to smoke in club. It was just weird. People smoking indoors. So I'm walking through the casino and noticed that there's a club on the second floor. And I'm like, hey, what's going on up here? And I'm talking to the bouncers, you know, expected to be here. Like, yeah, no, dress code, whatever. $3,000 cover charge, blah, blah, blah. Yo, homie at the door was like, yo, come on in. I'm like, is there a dress code? Nah, come on in. I'm like, is there a dress code? No, come on in. Cover? Nah, come on in. I'm like, fuck it. On the second floor, walked around, and then it was cool. And I remember just ordering because I went from Vegas sucks, man, and ordering a bullet. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Bullet. It's bullet is a, for all you youngsters, you unrefined youngsters listening to this podcast, bullet is a whiskey. Kentucky whiskey. Bourbon. I got to talk to my homie Jay Little, explain to me the difference between whiskey and bourbon. Or is that the same thing? Anyways, I may talk shit about the South, but I will not talk shit about Kentucky's whiskey bullet. Oh my, yeah, had a double shot of that shit. Ice on the side. Shout out to the bartender whose name I didn't get. He was a friendly guy. We had a conversation about whiskey and drink and also about not smoking weed in public, about how weed, smoking the weed is, it's fucked up, man. Apparently, I'm confused about the weed regulations in Vegas. I was smelling weed all over the place, but this bartender was telling me, yeah, no, weed's illegal here. Whatever, man. One thing I will not risk while being in the United States, call me paranoid, I don't give a fuck. Two things I will not risk. Talking politics, especially against Donald Trump while I'm over there, and smoking weed. Now, I went to Canada to do that shit. Yeah, Trump had gotten there was an assassination on Trump. Yeah, I probably talked shit on the internet, one joke, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not home, so let me shut the fuck up. Let me get back on Canadian soils to really express my thoughts. Make these jokes about this assassination attempt. But yeah, oh my God. Yeah, what was I? So, I'm at the bar. Take my double bullet bourbon, and I remember just being, my mood was great. I didn't get drunk, but I wasn't sober. I mean, I could have probably driven in my state, like I was at that state, but I wouldn't want to drive. But I was just feeling good. I guess this is my problem, man. It's just about my point is I had two sips of this bullet, and then felt good. I'm feeling good and going back to my room, and then all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I kind of like Vegas. I hate the idea that I'm saying yes. I had to drink to enjoy myself. That's really this is where this story is going. Now I love the fact that I just drank to the point where I was feeling good. It was not hungover the next day. Maybe I sipped a little too fast, and I probably hurt my esophagus or whatever. But it was a good time watching people. Oh, right. By the way, there's a link in my show notes in the other link section called Fremont Street, Las Vegas, people watching. And it's this person who goes around. I think they have that in every city. This person going around with his phone camera out and just walking through, and it's supposed to, you watch it in 4K and you watch it and you get like a sort of ambiance of what's going on. And on the cover of that video, there's a bunch of ladies. There's one in particular wearing a red dress, a red outfit. And I remembered her from the club I was at. I think these girls might have been celebrating a bachelorette party going on. But I remember seeing her in the video and at the club. And that's why I'm sharing it in the link. No, I'm not in that video, or nor did I take that video. But it was more the connection that I made between, hey, I saw these ladies. I guess that's my favorite moment from I Hate Vegas. There's too many people there to sips a bullet to being like, you know what? I'm feeling all right. And then I went back to my room and called it a day. You know, the other thing, too, is Vegas is like a party city. And I've reached a point, and I'm, brace yourself, I'm about to say some shit. If you're my age, you're about probably be disappointed what I'm about to say. But I've reached the age where it feels like partying is like a young man's game, young people's game. Like, I remember being in the club and fighting the urge and needing Bullet to shut the fuck up, to shut the voice in my head that was like, oh, the old guy in the club. So of course I kept my distance. Like, and just enjoyed the music. Everyone, you know, the DJ every once in a while was played some good music, and fighting that part of my brain that's like, oh, look at you 49-year-old geriatric. Is that geriatric? You fucking fossil. Fuck you doing in the club. Those girls could be your granddaughters. I knew this girl, shout out to her, man. She didn't believe in that shit. And she would, like, frown at that kind of thing. It's like, nah, man, you're never too young to party. And I respect that. Yeah, I guess it's one of those having friends. Maybe I just needed to surround myself with people to get out of my own head. But yeah, favorite moment on my list of favorite moment was the transition from, yeah, I'm too old to party, taking a sip of that bullet, and then of that whiskey, and then being like, I'm feeling all right. Yeah, I got out of my head. So yeah, I guess this is my don't say no to alcohol, kids. All right, one last point that I'm gonna make is I'm debating on this. Last point. Okay, I have a list of this. There was a moment when I was at a bar. I was eating breakfast by myself. Fried steak and eggs. Tried it for the first time. And it was delicious. Second time, not so great. Anyway, yeah, I was enjoying my breakfast, listening to some Michael K. Williams audiobook. And at a distance, like adjacent to me, at a table adjacent to me, there was a woman sitting alone. And this is why I do this podcast, because I like to share my thoughts. She was sitting by herself. And I remember being in that moment and getting excited at the possibility of the woman sitting by herself. And I'm about to share something that's, and my intention is not to make myself sound like a piece of shit, but I'm about to say some piece of shit things. Because I was not looking for love. I was not looking for or whatever or whatnot. I am not in any state to look for a relationship. But I remember being there and just noticing her at the corner of my eyes. You know, I think every like rom-com that I used to watch as a child played in my head, combined with every porn flick, all played, like all intersected. And they were all triggered by this woman who was sitting by herself. She had headphones too. And in my mind, because I have a vivid imagination, my mind went from thinking of walking over, you know, it's a, hey, baby, you know, saying all the right things. And it led to either adventure. Okay, I'm telling myself on one end from, you know, and that's how I met your mom. I was minding my own business, eating some steak and frick or whatever. From that to chicken wow to, yeah, man, $200. And yeah, you can have the whole, this is, to, I remember telling myself, yeah, balancing from love interest to one night stand. And the more I was thinking about it, because then I went from the negative voice. I went from that beautiful moment of what could have happened to, yeah, I'm gonna get to that table. Then it's gonna be boring conversation. Then I'm gonna fake interest. All this just to have, you know. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it was just a brief moment. No, okay, it doesn't end with me going to talk to the woman, but it did. It was more ended with me reflecting on how the only thing interesting me that I find interesting in that moment is the conquest. Is the, yeah, I got her digits, or yeah, we went back to her room and stuff like that. It was just a just a series of thought about how, like, I feel like this would be a chapter in my book called The Woman Sitting Alone. And I forget that I'm here with my cousin and she went out eating by herself. And she was by herself, not trying to pick up dudes, but she was just in, like that woman sitting by herself could have, there was maybe it's the patriarchy kicking in saying, yeah, man. Okay. Of course she wants to be with someone else. This is one of these thoughts, I guess I might need to write out to make sense out of it, but it was just how it triggered so many thoughts, but realizing how I have no interest. I don't know if I'm lying to myself, because I was about to say that the only thing that interested me, that I was interested in that moment, the only thing that caused me to be excited was the possibility of a conquest, a notch, being able to say, write a rap song about how I knocked them boots. Some of you kids are going to have to Google what knock them boots mean. But yeah, anyway, I had a moment where noticing this woman alone just triggered so many thoughts about possibilities, from possibilities to, who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? Yeah, but the story ends with, it was beautiful, is how not once did she make eye contact. She ate her food and then walked away. I'm not saying this was like an opportunity lost or anything like that, but it was just in that moment, all the things. Let me just say that it's going to be an interesting conversation with my therapist. That's all I'm sure saying. This is all, where all this is going. It's going to be a conversation with my therapist that might lead to something that I might write later, expand on or what I'm trying to get at. And yeah, that's it. That's it. This concludes my news. Well, the news, no news, but my random thoughts about being in Vegas. Yeah, flew back. First thing I did when I got back is get high. I missed you, marijuana. No, that's not true. I smoked on the next day. But I am glad that I took 2 days not to go back to work. Flew on WestJet. I'm not trying to promote WestJet, but fuck those seats. You know, let me put it this way, man. If I fly somewhere and I find myself thinking of being in a slave ship, the discomfort of a slave ship. Now, I'm not trying to say flying with WestJet is like being on a slave ship. I am saying there were moments where I was so fucking uncomfortable. And even though I got a seat that what's the word they use, had extra comfort, or you know, extra leg room, I was still uncomfortable because they had this socket where you plug your. Doesn't matter. My point is, I was uncomfortable, and I had to find my ways to mentally play with. Okay, this basically switching around to make myself less. I'm going from a bit of discomfort. I was always uncomfortable, but I had to find ways to like, okay, if I move my butt cheeks this way, I'm less uncomfortable than I was before, and that was my comfort. I hate flying. That's my point. I love getting to the destination. I love traveling. I just hate flying. That's why this is where the story is going. It's like, and these assholes are like, you know, okay, I'll stop my rant about the airline. But these fucking assholes, that's like, hey, we'll treat you like a human being by going into first class, but if you pay us extra. And it's another, okay, that's it. Let me stop about Vegas. Yes, great travel partner, great concert. Food was good. I think the last thing is, if you go to Vegas, do not. Think about how much money you're spending. Go there with a budget. Even if it's exaggerated. Like, fuck it. But I think that's what was fucking with me, is because I started what I thought was a budget. I came in with cash that I had exchanged that I was going to spend. And problem is, I'm like, yeah, but if I give them cash, then I have to take this fucking change. So I started using the tap because I didn't think they had tap over there. But I'm like, oh, y'all got tap? And then bing, 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 bing. Yeah, and all I know is I spent money, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to look at that bank. I don't want to look at that bank receipt. But one thing's for sure is RBC was like, thank you for those interests. Or thank you for paying all those fees, suckers. All right, okay, this concludes User Random Thought. Let's jump to final thoughts and call it a day. All right, okay. Let's go. Fuck, who knew? I told myself I was going to talk a lot, but I lied. All right, let's... All right, okay. Okay, all right. New listeners, yeah. You know what, I'm just going to say, yeah, this is all standard what I'm doing. Final thought. Oh, what's different about Final Thought is usually Final Thought is inspired or it's a mix. I usually use a rap lyric as inspiration for my final thought. But in this particular situation, final thought is just going to be during my trip. I'm going to first shout out to my homegirl CEO for recommending the book. And I don't use government names on this podcast, if you can't tell. You know, just in case that my friends, I shouldn't have said cousin, but yeah, just in case that they go in a criminal enterprise, I don't want documentation or recording that. Oh, so according to this, you know Bin Laden. Yeah. I also, I don't know, the black in me. I don't know if it's a black or Caribbean or whatever, but it's like, you know, it's I don't like documenting But yes, shout out to my homegirl CEO for recommending Scenes from My Life, a memoir by Michael K. Williams. I should mention that I'm on my lost count rewatch of The Wire. I'm at season 3. And but that's not the point. Where I'm going with this is I needed to read this book. A part of me is like, holy shit, had I discovered this book? Okay, I'm going to say something that's bullshit, and I'm hoping my therapist is not listening to this, but had I discovered this book, I wouldn't fuck it. I would have saved money on therapy. No, that's bullshit. I had to go to therapy for this book to hit me the way it did. And what I read at the beginning, and where he says, this book is my effort to reach out. Okay, I'm going to read it again. This book is my effort to reach out to those who are the same color as me and those who couldn't look more different. Those who are too young to carry all their pain and those who are weak and having to carry, who are weak from having to carry it for so long. I hope that by telling my story, by sharing my doubts and fears, my loneliness, and some of my trauma, that I can provide comfort, maybe insight or connection, or maybe just the sound of a voice who knows.
Message!
Oh my God, okay. That paragraph, he says this, it's at the introduction of the book, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and it reminded me, this is what I'm trying to do with this podcast. Again, I'm still figuring out. Shout out to those of you who are familiar with the manifesto episode of Shut Up Podcast, of this iteration of Shut Up Podcast, which is the first episode and was titled Straight Out of Therapy. And I talk about how I'm not sure where I'm going with this book, with this podcast, but I do know it's the closest thing to a manifesto. I mean, some people write manifesto and shoot up a discotheque. I write a manifesto and shoot out a bunch of podcast episodes. Which is safer? I'm reading that paragraph, and it's similar to the idea that I'm trying to convey in the introduction. When I say, before I start the show, this podcast is a safe space for my thought, protected by the red, the black, and the green. And especially the part where I say I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up TV Ontario until they came back. That's my way of saying which part of Canada I'm from, and also to bring up the fact that I'm part of the category of human beings that just grew up feeling like an outcast. Now, the weird part about me is, despite feeling like an outcast, I never gave the impression, at least that I can suspect, gave the impression of being an outcast. I knew what to say to sound quote-unquote normal, to make people believe that I was fitting in. But deep down inside, I was just playing a role. I just hated, I'm going to say something funny. It's like, I'm a 300-pound, 6'1" black guy living in Ottawa. You know what my biggest fear was? Or one thing I didn't hate? Standing out. Standing out. Maybe I was lying to myself. Maybe I was, but I remember convincing myself that, yeah, I'm doing everything that I need to do to not stand out. Going through his book, I felt like it was another, I felt like I was celebrating, cheers to us outcasts, cheers to us outsiders, cheers to us. There's a part of the book he says something along the line of, in terms of that, he said, for people who the system fails, they end up creating their own systems. And I say, like take education, for example, right? You're supposed to go out for, I remember going through education and feeling like I hated school. I loved the learning, but I hated school. I felt school was just another white man calling me nigger. By the end of school, my self-esteem was shot. It was just, nothing about it had me convinced you're ready for the world. I felt like, oh, I was meant to be a slave. Anyways, amazing book. If I haven't said that already, and I wrote down, I'm not gonna elaborate on it, but I wrote like the points, the major takeaways from this book. It's like a storytelling, reaching out and sharing your story. Masculinity, not necessarily masculine, but redefining the idea of masculinity so you can fit in there. Yeah, he touches on that in the book. Sexuality. I had no idea. That's what's amazing. Yeah, sexuality is, it's not clear, but, well, again, sexuality is a spectrum. But I get the impression he was bisexual or he went through life. Let me put it this way. He went through life trying to make sense of his sexuality, but where he was finally able to feel, not because of his sexuality, but where he was finally able to feel, I'm talking about Michael K. Williams, finally able to feel like he found his tribe, quote unquote, is when he started hanging out with members of the LGBTQ community. And not necessarily because of his sexuality, at least that's the impression I got, but it was more being around people who knew what it was like to be on the outside, to be an outcast. He didn't have to pretend anymore. He was finally found a group of people who accepted him. Vulnerability. That's another talk. Finding strength, power, and vulnerability. Shout out to Brandy Brown. Drug addiction. Drug addiction, service, and art. Yeah, and art. I was meant to read that book. It was very powerful. It's amazing how, yo, the dude who played Omar from The Wire, the dude who played Chucky, what was his name again? Boardwalk Empire. Oh my God, yeah. Boardwalk Empire, and his name was, great show. Wow, reminds me. Shout out to Boardwalk Empire because when I went to the Mom Museum, I was like, yeah, I learned that shit from watching Boardwalk Empire. He played, trying to remember Chalky's last name in Boardwalk Empire. Shout out to those of you who are like losing their mind. His name is, I should have an audience. Is at the bottom of the list? Bunch of crazy crackers. There's no way he's at the bottom of the list. Oh my God. No, Noki Thompson, no. There we go. Chalky White. Duh. Chalky White. Chalky White, Omar Little, and I'm going with titles that memorable shows. And and his character in, holy shit, I'm having difficulty thinking of, oh, that's right, he was in The Sopranos. He did an episode of Sopranos. He's got a long ass resume. Oh, Lovecraft Country, Montrose Freeman. I would have never imagined. That's how great of an actor he was, because he talks about himself, about how, let me put it this way. Growing up, he was messed with. People fucked with him. Even though he was from Brooklyn. I had convinced that everyone from Brooklyn comes out tough. Nah, man. Him and I had something in common. I think this is why I connected with him, is homie was a mess. I like when, and I say he was a mess, I'm not saying like I'm superior to him. I'm like, wow. I think that's what it is, man. I walk through the world and I had this belief that everyone is better than me. I grew up with this notion. I'm not just going to blame education, but I remember growing up and I found comfort with the idea of believing that as long as you believe everyone's better than you, you'll be up, the world will treat you okay. And Michael K. Williams was in the category of human beings that I would have believed that had their shit together. I read this book, this dude puts on his wounds, his cicatrices, comment cicatrices en anglais, his wounds, his pain, his everything. Man, he puts it all out there, his vulnerability out there. And he's, my interpretation, he said, bro, I ain't shit. He goes, if I'm not anything, I'd be known as an addict. That's how people saw me. They didn't see me as Omar Montrose, this movie star, Chalky White. Nah, man, people saw me as a fucking addict. Yo, he was Bubbles from The Wire. I would have never imagined that from this. Again, looks could be deceiving. But I am so touched that he got to a point that, yo, I need to tell my story and put it out there. Yeah, and the way he talks about addiction, I'm emotional about this if you can't tell, but the way he talks about addiction, and it's a disease. And the thing is, you read this book knowing how the author, how it ends for this guy. Addiction was, like, that's the one thing they got in The Wire. It's like, it's a disease. I'm constantly fighting about. Like, every once in a while, I gotta watch my back. Because every once in a while, it sneaks, it's like, you feel good about yourself, you forget that you're an addict, and it just, surprise! Now, the thing is, I read this last night. Yes, he died on, I was thinking of making the title of this episode, September 6th, 2021. That's when he died. Okay, the last chapter is in July. He talks about being in July, man. Yeah, the fact that you know that he dies of a drug overdose gets you. Because the man was, he had his high moments. He talked about when he was on The Wire, season one. Yeah, fuck that. He was going to fuck that up. He was sober. Season two, there's one he talks about. I can't remember which character he played. And because he was so into the character, it just triggered relapse. Is it real? Yeah, relapse. Powerful book, man. Now, I can't talk much about addiction. Now, here's the thing is the problems that I have or the issues that I have, like when he talks at the beginning where he says, my doubts, holy shit, dude, I just read it. Where he talks about how pain, who are we? I hope that by telling my story, by sharing my doubts, my fear, my loneliness, and some of my trauma. Like, when he says that, I feel like, B, you have no fucking right to talk about your fears, your trauma. Like, come on, man. What are you? You live in a developed country. You're privileged. You're fucking privileged. Hetero male privilege. What the fuck do you have to talk about? The fucking nerves that you got. And I'm realizing that's not the point. actually, that is the point. Is you can relate to that discomfort. I know white people who are like, who tell themselves, how dare I talk about my struggle when there's a black guy who's got to deal with black people got to deal with police brutality. I think I could connect with that idea of how dare you? Those constant, how dare you? People got it way worse than you. How dare you? On one end, I got my how dare you. And on the other end, I'm reading this book. At the beginning of the book, I remember telling myself, okay, sounds like what you're telling me, Mr. Michael K. Williams, that I would probably benefit. And this is a thought that I had at the beginning of this book. That I would benefit better. The world would benefit better, would benefit more from me dying from an overdose than anything else I can imagine. And what I mean by that, no, I'm not saying that Michael K. Williams talked me into doing drugs, but it was more the idea of, I remember when Mac Miller died from a drug overdose and how the world made a big deal out of it. And some people were like, you know what? I'm going to need to get my shit together. And And I remember I remember telling myself, I was in a dark place where I couldn't imagine living my life and making more of a contribution to this world than I could have by dying of a drug overdose. Now, Michael K. Williams didn't set himself out to write this book and then die of a drug overdose. Nah, he talks about, y'all, it reminds me of Tupac. Tupac, it's like he knew he was gonna, he rapped a lot about how, fuck it, hope they bury me, send me to my rest, headline. Like, I'm gonna die of gun violence. I don't hope for it, but the way I live this fucking life, with this mouth, I'm gonna die of gun violence. And Pac rapped a lot about how he's going to die. It's like he's accepted, like, death was inevitable. In this one is, I'm not saying that, I don't think, or at least I didn't get the impression that he was saying, I'm going to die from a drug overdose. But he was aware that this overdose was, it wasn't going to take him to a good place. It's like he was open to the idea of, not open, like oh, but like he like accepted it, like, I'm going to die. It's like top five ways I'm going to die. If it's not gun violence, then it's going to be the drug overdose. If it's not a police stop, I'm thinking of that song by, okay, let me wrap this up. I'm thinking of that song by both Kendrick and if you can't tell, by the way, this is a pro Kendrick podcast. Kendrick and Beanie Siegel, and they both have songs about how, where they talk about death and about how, yeah, how I'm likely going to die. For me, it's gonna be, yeah, man, chicken wings, fucking high blood pressure, cholesterol. My doctor's saying, yeah, man, ain't no hope, man. What the fuck? You been eating that pork, huh? Okay, where I'm going with this, I'm saying is relating to having little regards. I'm in my late 40s, and starting out, shout out to Dion Cole, comedian Dion Cole. He's got a joke about, remember when you were the future? And I've reached this age where I'm like, what's left? I feel like this is like the thoughts I've been trying to fight with, and hence why I started this podcast, is I've been fighting with this idea of everything I should have, could have accomplished, should have happened before. I'm at the age where it's just a matter of counting down. I say this not out of pity. I'm saying this because I'm recognizing I'm not the only one. Now, I don't want to fucking talk to you. I don't want responses for you people who are like, oh, I figured it out. Or what you're saying is absurd. Or here, let me talk to you about Jesus. You know, I'm not talking about that. No. I want to talk to the people who can relate to that shit. And who are find themselves arguing or like Cuddy from The Wire, again, season 3. Cuddy, he reaches the point where he says, you really need to see The Wire to make sense out of this shit. But this character, he was like in the streets doing bad, you know, he goes to jail and he finds himself not being able to be that guy that landed him in jail. He's no longer like that. And he finds himself, there's a moment where he finds himself saying, telling himself, yo, the game is, it ain't in me no more. I can't do that street shit no more. And I love it. And then one character's going like, but you haven't known anything else. And I love the line he says, which by the way was the title of one of my episodes. I've lost track which one. And he says, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but what I do know is it can't be this shit. Like when you're and this is where I'm getting at, is where you're at the, I'm not going to use words I don't know. I want to use the word precipice, but I don't know. Where you're like, you're at the crossroad. where you realize that, yo, I can't be doing this shit anymore. I can't be giving in to the thought of, yo, you're there ain't, this future ain't shit for you in this future. You're better off dead. Like, you're at that part of your life where you're like reflecting on, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. I don't know what it is. Maybe I am talking about faith. Maybe I am talking about, you know what? Shout out to Common. And shout also Black Eyed Tips and Three Guys On Podcast, because they were just talking about how Common recently released an album, by the way, in the show notes, in the other links, and it's called him and Pete Rock, legendary Pete Rock, beat producer Pete Rock, and it's called The Auditorium Volume 1. And there's a song where it's like Common is, again, I just heard it once, right? But I got the impression that it's like he's talking, he's personified destiny and hope, and he's having a conversation with hope. I guess that's what I'm talking about, is holding on to hope, to the idea that shit could get better. I'm not saying it will get better. I'm saying you're just at that point where shit could get better. That's like your mustard seed. Okay, look, I promised myself, I told myself I was going to preach on this podcast, but I am making sense of some, I'm an ex-Christian, but I have hold on to certain ideas. Like, I think I understood what the character Jesus talks about, faith of a mustard seed. If you could just hold on to that small idea that shit could get better. Work with that. If you could work with that, then it's, fuck it, it's enough. It's enough. Like I said, yeah, that's it. That's it, yeah. You know what? I'm doing all this talking. I think I'm realizing. I'm going to go with the title, Just the Voice of Someone Who Knows. I initially wanted to say, you know, Vegas and something Michael K. Williams said, because I wanted a title that would attract people, but like I said, this iteration of Shut Up Podcast, which I call the New Testament, I stopped treating my audience like a chick I'm trying to bang. So I'm going with that one, just because I was moved by that sentence. Just the voice. Like, I'm hoping that sentence triggers the curiosity to be like, the fuck's he talking about? And then Vegas, this nigga. Anyway, yeah. Just the voice of someone who knows. Because it's like, when I think about the about section of this podcast, that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to be a voice. I wrote that wrong. Not someone who knows. It goes voice of the sound of another voice who knows. The sound of another. Yeah, anyway. All right. Yeah, that's it. With that said, this concludes today's episode, number 188. Thank you for sticking around, man. I appreciate this. I know I was supposed to have released. I don't know if I promised or I told you I'd released on Wednesday. I lied. I think, yeah, the schedule might be Thursdays and Monday. Well, Sunday night. We'll see. We'll see. Whatever. Part of being running your own podcast is making your own rules. With that said, thank you for listening. And I feel like I'm missing something. Let me just set up my, I got to get a new sound player. But another thing I like to do on this podcast is bitch about my equipment. Hey, ungrateful motherfucker. Anyways, yeah. Thank you for listening. And as always, whoa. Yeah. Again, shutuppodcast.com. Show notes is on there. And RSS feed for the podcast is also on the website. And if you need to email me, it's shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. All right. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.